Amen, amen. There we go. It's good to be in the house of the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. I want to first say thank you to our pastor for giving us opportunity to stand and preach. Amen. Amen. He doesn't have to share his pulpit with any of us, but he does, and I'm thankful for that, giving us a chance to preach the word of God. Because we was called to preach, amen.
Amen.
If you called to preach, you ought to preach the word, amen.
Amen.
And so I'm thankful for that, and I pray that this word be encouragement and challenging and blessing to you, amen. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Galatians chapter number 6, and if you can, would you stand for the reading out of God's word? Galatians chapter number 6 and verse number 1. Galatians chapter number 6. In verse number 1, very familiar text, and I pray it's a blessing to you. Galatians chapter 6, verse 1, the Bible says, "Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burden, and so fulfill the law of Christ."
Amen.
"For if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself," the Bible says. In verse 4, it says, "But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone, and not in another. For every man shall bear his burden, his own." I'm sorry, read that again, verse 5. "For every man shall bear his own burden."
Amen.
"For every man shall bear his own burden." With the Lord being our helper tonight, we're going to preach on how to help the hurting.
Amen.
How to help the hurting.
Amen.
Let's pray. Father in heaven, Lord, we love
you.
God.
Help us, God. Help us, help us, help us.
God, I pray you wash me. I pray you cleanse me, God. God, I pray you empty me of myself. God, fill with your spirit.
Yes, sir. Help us, help us.
Well, thus said the Lord, God, we need you, Lord. We need a touch from you tonight, Lord.
Yes, sir.
Well, we drove all the way in this snow to hear something from you, God. So I pray you do. You make up the difference, God. I pray you help both of us, God, to preach the word of God. God, I pray you help us, Lord. We love you and help us. In Jesus' name, pray. Amen, amen. You may be seated.
Amen.
Helping
Hallelujah.
The hurting.
Amen.
This church, or these churches rather, this is the region of Galatia, and Paul, this is a dear church to Paul. Why? Because he was one of the men that started this church, and as he was on this his missionary trip, he got to this region, and he planted churches, and so Paul, normally when he writes to a church, he normally encourages you in the very beginning.
Yeah.
He give you a salutation, encouraging, tell you all the good things about you doing and all the different things. Here, Paul got right to it. Paul didn't mess around. It was a lot of things that was going on inside his church that Paul wanted to address, and he wanted to address it quickly. I believe we ought to address things in the church. And so Paul, he got there, and he started addressing things. He started talking about those false teachers that crept in the church,
Judaizers.
Thank you. Amen. Say it again.
Judaizers,
amen. they crept in the church, and what they are, they're false teachers. And what they was doing, they was adding something to salvation, add something to grace. They were trying to say works and works save you, and we're not saved by works. The Bible says we're saved by grace and grace alone. Amen.
Amen.
It is the work of Jesus Christ, what He did. We don't have to work to get to heaven. He already did the work for us.
Amen.
To get there.
Praise
amen.
The Lord.
So we put our faith and trust and confidence in Him. And so as he got there, he wanted to set the, record straight. And these men, they I'm not going to say they despised them, but they said things. And Paul, he said in verse. In Galatians 4 and verse 16, I believe it is. The Bible says, he said, "Am I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the
Preach
truth?" We don't like to be told the truth sometimes.
Amen. See,
the truth hurts. Amen.
Yeah, yeah.
And so Paul got there and he was telling them, I came to you. And remember, you I was held highly in your eyes and in your stature. And now I become your enemy. Why? Because I came to tell you the truth. See, boys and girls, we ought to tell each other the truth. Amen.
Amen.
We ought to tell each other the truth. And not to hurt someone, but to help them. Amen. We're here to exhort one another in the love of Christ. Amen.
Amen.
And so that's what he came to do. He came to help them, to encourage them, to show them that they was in the wrong, and watch out for those guys. We need to be aware of those false teachers.
Amen.
Oftentimes we hear people say, "Oh, you can't judge them." Well, see, if you read just a few more verses down, it tells you, beware of false prophets. And that's
Amen.
Over there in Matthew chapter number 7, verses 1 through 6. It tells you you got to watch out for those guys. So don't ever be afraid to judge some fruit, because we're the tree. Bear fruit.
Right,
the
right,
fruit
right.
is not for ourselves. The fruit is for everyone else to bear Amen. Those fruit from us. Amen. So Paul had a job. He had a duty. And he came there and he was going to tell them earnestly. He was going to tell the truth. And as he got to tell the truth, he was trying to tell them that you're not under the law. You're not under the law. You're saved by grace. And then he mentioned this in chapter 5 of Galatians, in verse number 13. Slow down and breathe. Amen. The Bible says, verse 13 says, "For brethren, we have been called unto liberty." The word liberty there means freedom.
Amen.
We're called to freedom only to use not liberty of an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. And then verse number 14 is a key verse here. I'm going to come back to this a little later. The Bible says, "For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even this, that thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." And that's the golden rule you may see later on in Matthew, but we'll get there. And so I'm going to tag it on and give Pastor some time to get to where he needs to get to. Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. And going back over there to Galatians chapter 6 in verse number 1, the Bible says, "Brethren," it says, "if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are unspiritual."
No, sir.
"Ye which are spiritual," the Bible says. He says, "restore such a one in the spirit of meekness." So we're talking about how to help the hurting, how to help the hurting. So if you and I are going to help the hurting, then we are to restore those who have been fallen. Amen. Those who have fallen into sin. A fallen saint cannot restore himself. The overtaken here means to be surprised. They were not trying to sin. They were trying to walk with the Lord, and fault or sin surprised them. It is not talking about someone who is sinning openly and willingly. Here we see three ways that we can restore a person. Now, that word also does mean, though, to anticipate. So it could be somebody that's overtaken or somebody that anticipates a certain situation. But nonetheless, the Bible says to restore. The question is, do we want to restore? For example, somebody that's done you wrong, somebody that's hurt you, somebody that's wounded you. Do you want to restore that person? I'll let somebody else do that. Let me ask you the question. What if you're the person that needs to be restored? We want people to restore us. Yeah. But what about the other person who needs restoration? Amen. And the Bible teaches us that's why it takes a spiritual person. A spiritual person. That word spiritual also means a person who has been regenerated. Mm-hmm. A person who has been blood-bought and born again. Amen. Now, one way we can help restore a person is spiritually. Ye which are spiritual. A carnal Christian cannot restore someone. He needs to be helped by somebody who's being spirit-filled. Because when you're trying to restore somebody, I'm going to tell you what, they could drive you crazy. Mm-hmm. I mean, you're trying to put them back together. You're trying to help them to get to the house of God. They don't want to hear what you got to say. They close their ears up. You've got to be a spiritually minded person, amen? And you can be able to begin to help that person. Lewis says in Galatians 5, verse 22, the Bible says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace." Oh, my. I didn't see that cuss word there. "Long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance." That's self-control. "Against such there is no law." So you're trying to help restore somebody, you're going to need long-suffering.
Yes, sir.
You're going to need patience. It was exciting to see so many that were here in the house of God this morning. And some of the ones that were here this morning were folks that I know personally that needed somebody to help restore them. But you know what? If you're not careful, you can get all cross-eyed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What's going on with them, you know? But you know what, my dear friends? What's this other way around? Sometimes we forget where we were, and we forget what God has done for us, and then we look at somebody else, and we look at them all kind of weird. Listen, if you'd have seen me when I first came out to Galilean Baptist Church, I mean, I had earrings in my ear, I had a ponytail. I mean, I come walking down there, you know, I mean, what's up? You know, I mean, that was my mindset, amen. But when the Holy Ghost got a hold of me and changed my direction, but I can't forget how I used to be, because it helps me to have more compassion for those who are away from God. And if you're not going to help people, we have to have compassion, amen. And that's what the Bible says here. The Bible says, here's the right spirit. Look at verse 1 again. "Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of ugliness."
Meekness.
Oh, thank you, Miss Carrie. Meekness. Meekness, mind you. Not ugliness. Oh, get right with God, you wicked, vile person. Well, that ain't meekness, amen.
Yes,
my dear friends, we have to have a meek spirit, amen, because the Bible tells us this. See what it says. He says, my friends, it's sensible. He says, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself. Check yourself out. Mm-hmm. Look at yourself. Inspect yourself. That's why so many times, and I hate to say this, but so many times, brethren in the ministry, good preachers, good pastors, they have beat people, they have bombarded people, they have jacked people up spiritually because they was doing this and they was doing that. Then all of a sudden, my dear friends, boom, they hit the ground. And that's a whole different ball game. Well, you know, we all stumble. Mm-hmm. Well, oh, yeah, we all stumble now.
Right.
But what about before, amen? When you was riding your high horse and had your big tall hat on and you came out with a flaming sword with no meekness, amen? Yeah. My dear friends, if we're going to help people, then we have to do it with a spirit of meekness. And as it says here, it is a sensible thing, amen? It's the right thing to do. It makes sense because, my friends, we could be in that same situation as somebody else. I never forget when Larry Brown, his daughter got pregnant and with a boyfriend, and then all the preachers in town was dogging him out, cutting him up. Then years go by. Then all of a sudden he said he get a knock on the door from some preacher at nighttime around the backside. Preacher can't come talk to you. My daughter has gotten pregnant. And I just want to see if you could help me. I know I apologize because I said some things about you. Listen, my dear friends, you could be in that same situation as somebody else. And by the way, when somebody's been broken or when somebody's been wounded, you've got to have compassion. Like Jolene, when Jolene got her elbow dislocated, we went to the emergency room. And they didn't just go over there, Brother Russell, Melissa, and just say, oh, okay, wham.
No.
Somebody would have got hurt up in that place. Mm-hmm. You know what they did? They got some medication. They said, we'll give you this. It's going to help you for about 10 minutes. And what it did was it took care of the pain. So, and she was like kind of like somewhere else. And they didn't even let me stay in there. Because they was pulling and y'all might have worked, they was pulling and yanking. I probably go, oh, you hurt my baby. Hey, man.
Yeah.
But they say, won't you step out and it's going to be crowded up in here. I'm not stupid. I'm like, they don't want me to see what's happening. Amen. And my friends, when she kind of went out, they had to pull that, they had to put and pop that thing back into place. But they didn't do it to hurt her. They gave her something to numb it. You want to help somebody? Then come at them with some numbness. Amen. Come with them with some meekness, with a meek spirit. And say, you know what, brother, sister, I love you. And I just want to encourage you. I just want to help you. Because you know what? We're looking for the wounded. And there's a lot of folks that's hurting. A lot of people that are wounded. And they need somebody to encourage them and somebody to lift them up. But we got to have the right type of spirit. Amen.
Read verse 1 again. The Bible says, Galatians 6, verse 1. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest also be tempted. Then it says, bear ye one another's burden, and so fulfill the law of Christ. Oftentimes, we want to help someone, we want to restore them, but we don't know how to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And so we relieve others that are facing struggles. Bear ye a burden. Burden also means a weight or a load that's in abundance. I remember we playing football, and we had this. It was a ball that we had, and we called it the ugly ball. And this ball, we had to carry it around, and you couldn't lose this ball, okay? And as a running back, they was trying to teach you to have security, to hold on to something, hold on to something real tight. And I remember I was walking around, and I started eating lunch, and I lost this ugly ball. There's a problem. That's my ball. I was supposed to hold on to this ball. I was supposed to keep it wherever I went. And so I did something. I called my buddies, my other running back posse. But they didn't want to help me. Why? Because I was supposed to hold on to that ball. So then I had to think real hard who I was going to call to help me to lift that burden. So I called the offensive line. Thank God for the offensive line. See, sometimes we need somebody to help us to lift some things that we can't lift ourselves. Have you ever seen some offensive linemen? I wish Brother Randall was here because he played on the offensive line. Brother Dennis, did you play? Not, I tried. But we need somebody that's big. Amen. But we need somebody big and somebody stronger than us to help us to lift those burdens. See, when we help, first of all, that's humbling. That's humbling, even asking
or looking for
someone to help us to help lift that burden. So we need to do it. We need someone to share the load, and we also need to share some love. That's what we can do. We can share our love. What do you mean by that? The Bible says in Galatians 5 and verse 14, I said we're going back there. Galatians 5 and in verse 14, the Bible says, for all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, that thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Now, I want you to run with me. Keep going. Keep going. Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7 and verse number 12. Love thy neighbor as thyself. And this is, I want you to see this in Matthew chapter 7, verse number 12. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 7 and verse number 12. The Bible says, therefore, all things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do even so to them. For this is the law and the prophets. Would you want someone to help you to bear your burden? Now, we all have our own burden. We're going to see that a little later. But this is something that's heavy, and we can't do it on our own. So we want someone to share that load. We want someone to share some love. We need some love and some encouragement. Love goes a long way. Amen. The Bible says love carries a multitude of sins. And so we need people to share some love, to share some love. Amen. Go with me to John chapter number 13 and verse number 13. We're talking about helping the hurting. And I don't know about you, but I've been hurting. Yeah. And I'm thankful at this church, amen, that I have some brothers and some sisters to help me to bear our load. Not only my load, but that's my wife's load, because we're one. I remember being in a hospital for a week, two separate times. And we had some people to bear our burden. We had people to watch our kids, and that's a burden, amen, somebody.
Preach up!
We had some, I remember the pastor was in the car with the kids, and he was only in the car maybe an hour with them or so, and he came back in there. I think that's why he cut all the beard off and everything, because it kind of get kind of gray, and now you're watching his grandson, so, but that's a burden. You're helping lift some burden. You're right, not a burden, but I'm just saying, we need to help, amen. Let's get to the verse. John chapter number 13, and verse number 33, the Bible says, little children, yet a little while am I with you. You shall seek me, and I said unto the Jews, whither I go, you cannot go. You cannot come. So now I say to you, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. The Bible says, then says in verse 35, by this shall all men know that ye are my disciples if ye have love one to another.
Amen.
It'll be a great fault on the church if we come here and people are burdened and we look mean at them. We look nasty at them. We don't want to help them. We don't want to help lift that burden. They wouldn't want to come in them. I know I wouldn't.
Amen.
But we need to share some love and share the load and also shine the light. We need to shine that light that Jesus has given us. We all have. If you're saved by the grace of God, you have a light. And that light is the Holy Spirit that's inside of you. Shine the light. Amen.
Amen.
Tell them about the love of Christ.
Amen.
Help them to bear the burden. Help them to bear that. Ooh, I'm out of time. Amen. All right, Pastor, go ahead. It's on you.
Go ahead. You have some mind. Go ahead.
Okay. So, I'll mess myself up. So, we need to share the love. We need to share the load. And we need to shine a light. The Bible then says, go back to Galatians chapter number 6. Galatians chapter number 6. Verse number 2 again. The Bible says, bear ye one another's burden, and so fulfill the law of Christ. Then the Bible says, for if a man think himself to be something, when he is nothing, He deceiveth himself. Remind those that there are that are focusing on stuff. See, sometimes what we do as Christians, we like to compare ourselves to each other. I remember when I was a young girl, and I used to say to my mom, "Well, at least I'm not doing that. Well, I'm not doing that over there. You see, I'm doing okay." I'm doing all right. You see my brother, he's doing this, he's doing that. And so we try to compare. It's natural. It's fleshly. We like to compare ourselves to each other sometimes.
Yeah.
But we have a responsibility. Once we realize our responsibility, you have responsibility to carry your own burden. So therefore, we have to bear our own burden. So what that means there, now that's a different word there when it says burden. There's two different words. The first burden is talking about a load. The second one is talking about a task or an assignment that we have. So therefore, we all have a specific assignment. So what I mean by that, okay, for example, you can help me take care of my kids by, say, we want to pay for youth camp. Hallelujah, we want to pay for youth camp. But you can, that's a burden that you can help me with.
For sure.
But you're not supposed to take on the responsibility of being a dad of my kids. You understand? So we all have a task. So we all have an assignment. Mm-hmm. This is your load, and this is my load. So praise I have God. To keep my own load. This is my task. This is my job. I'm a father of those three. I'm the husband to one wife, amen, to Stephanie. That's my wife, amen. So she's my responsibility. That's my task. So the Bible says, for if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. We want the Lord to prove us. In verse 4, I get to that. The Bible says in verse number 4, but let every man prove his own work. Word prove there means to try to test. So he's proving or he's testing his own work. What is our own work? Once again, it's our burden. This is my burden. This is my job. This is my job. This is my task. I'm supposed to go for it. I'm supposed to do what I'm supposed to do already. See, sometimes the Christians, not necessarily as Christians, but we live in a society that wants handouts. That wants to someone else to take care of their responsibility. But this is my responsibility. This is my burden that I have to bear. Not anyone else, but me and me, myself, and I. The Bible then goes on to say, and then shall ye have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. So we're not going to have this kind of tongue tied me there. And so I was thinking, when I got to reading the verse, it says, but let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. So I'm saying, well, are we supposed to rejoice in ourselves? No, see, the law, the word of God is a mirror. And what it does, it reveals to us what we are. See, all the time, I remember I said about comparing each other. See, when we look into the word of God and reveal ourselves, we won't worry about their burden over there or what their sin is or what's going on over there. We will worry about ourselves and our own burdens because we all have our own tasks and our own burdens. Does that make sense there? Amen. So the Bible then says, and then shall he rejoice in himself alone and not in another. For every man that shall bear his own burden, his own task, just like a soldier, it's like a soldier's backpack. This is what it's talking about. So we all have our own burden. We all have a burden that we should bear. So we should help others with their burden, but also remember to bear our own burden. Stay on task. Stay on point in God's work and what he has for you in your life. And in verse number 5 again, it says, for every man shall bear his own burden. I went there. Okay. That's closing. That's on you.
Amen. Hallelujah. Right. Amen. So what you have is this, guys. What you have is a burden with something that's weighing you down. But then you have another burden called your personal responsibility. That's something that's totally different. But the thing about it is this. The Bible teaches us that we are to help one another, okay? If he has something that's weighing him down, as a Christian, I should come by and help him with that so that's weighing him down. Now, he still has his own personal responsibility, which means things that he's supposed to do himself. But now, if I can help motivate him to get those things done, that's another thing, amen? But nonetheless, we're supposed to be helping one another. I'm not supposed to come by here and do this. Be a moral burden on him, okay? He's not looking for more burdens, amen? But what he's looking for is something to help relieve him of that load that's weighing him down. The question is this. Are we going to help each other or not? Because there will come a time in your life when you're going to need some help too. One of the biggest things that I had to face in the ministry is when God called me into full-time ministry we fought about this thing. I said, Lord, I don't want to depend on no people, you know. I've been working since I was 7 years old, pumping gas, checking oil at the gas station. That's before they had this where you pull up and do it yourself. Folks would come out and do it for you, and I was one of those people. Okay, I remember playing at the house, and my dad, you remember this, Pam, dad would have us come down there because somebody wouldn't show up for work, and we had to go down. I had to stop playing my friends, Brother Russell, had to go down the street and work at the gas station. I didn't want to go, but when they started paying me, because at first I wasn't getting paid, when they started paying me, I was getting a dollar an hour, okay? That's a lot of money in 1974, even though they was getting more than me, but I got to talk to my mama. I said, Mom, I need a raise. Amen. So she talked to Daddy. So I started getting $2 an hour. Amen. I get $16. And man, when you're 10, 11 years old with $16, back then, man, you rolling. You know, that's what you're doing, amen. But you know what? I mean, I was down there doing that, and I was learning how to work. So when it came to the place where God wanted me to surrender, and then all of a sudden, I got to ask. I was using Christian's car the other day because mine's, it's going to be a little while. The parts are on order, so it's going to be about 2 or 3 weeks before all that stuff comes in. So it's going to be a little while. You know, and the van that I'm driving, I mean, I drive from here to the house because that thing got issues, amen. But I have to ask her, can I borrow her car, you know? I mean, even though I bought it, amen, praise God. But anyhow, I'm just saying. But anyhow, so, but you know what? She's gracious enough to let me borrow the car because, you know, I'm going to fill up with gas. But anyhow, so, but still, though, to ask your child, can I borrow this? Think about what I'm saying. That's a humbling thing. It's a humbling thing. But what she's doing is she's helping me carry that particular load that's on me. And friends, we need to help each other. We need each other. And God wants us to help each other. And he wants us to do it in the spirit of meekness, especially for that person who's been overtaken in a sin or fault. That person needs a lot of meekness, a lot of mercy, and a lot of grace, just like we do. Matter of fact, we might not be like some folks who we've gotten out to a whole bunch of sinful stuff, but you know what? There's times we do things that nobody knows about. Think about what I'm saying now. There's sins in your life and in my life nobody knows about. And if we were to put it up on the screen, I'd pull it down there and say, all right, Joel. You know, I mean, Joel, preacher, put that thing back up, amen. You know, pull that thing up. You know what? Because we don't want folks to see that dark stuff. But God sees it. And we come to God, we beg God for forgiveness, and we feel like God shouldn't even forgive us. But God keeps his word. But he also wants us to do that same thing that he's doing for us. That's why I'm giving you this verse, and we're done. Go over to Ephesians chapter number 4 and verse number 32. Ephesians 4 verse 32. The Bible says this. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 4 verse 32, and be ye ugly to one another. Yeah, but they was ugly to me. He says, be ye kind one to another. Watch this. Tenderhearted. That's compassionate. Forgiving one another. Even as God, for Christ's sake, have forgiven you. And that word forgiving means to pardon or to rescue, to grant as a favor. You may not deserve this, but I'm granting you this favor. That's what God did for us. And folks, when you're into helping people, you're going to have a lot of grace as well as a lot of forgiveness. Let me ask you three questions. We're done. Are you burdened with a load tonight? Are you burdened with a load tonight? The second question is this, are you helping others bear their burden? It's amazing when you're helping other people with their burdens, how God helps you with yours. It's awesome. And the last thing is this, let's ask the Lord to help us to help the hurting. A lot of folks are hurting, but let's ask the Lord to help us to help the hurting. And by the way, let me end with this. Melissa posted a post yesterday about a young girl, 18 years old, from Texas, and how she had been bullied, cyberbullied, and all this kind of stuff. And so she had sent a message to a friend, and she was saying basically she was apologizing for what she's about to do. I believe it was a friend, it was a sister. Her sister called her mom and her dad. Her mom and her dad got to the house as quick as they could. When they walked into her room, she had gotten a gun, and she was going to shoot herself. And they pleaded with their daughter to not take her life. They had pleaded with her. But right in front of her mom and her dad, she pulled the trigger, and she killed herself. All because somebody was hurting her and not helping her. We don't need that. We don't need to be one of those people that's hurting people that will cause them to do harm to themselves. Instead, we should be helping people. Oh, but they're helping people. Because we all need help. So we should be encouraging one another and not trying to tear each other down. Well, I just thought, you know, maybe you think it's funny. But is it funny to them? Are they laughing about it? Or are they crying about it? Because you know what? The Bible does teach us that we do reap what we sow. And I don't know about you, but I don't want to be reaping some stuff that I've sown to hurt somebody else. So let's seek to help each other and not to hurt each other. Father, thank you for your many wonderful blessings. Thank you for the message that you gave Brett, Lord, to give to us tonight. And I pray, God, that we would seek to always help people and not to hurt people with our words or with our actions or with the way that we conduct ourselves. But God, help us to always seek to lift people up, to be a blessing, not to be a burden, to be a helper and not to be a hurter. And for that, Father, we'll thank you. Perhaps, God, there's some folks that are here tonight that want to just talk to you for a few moments and say, Lord, help me to help others more. Help me be more concerned about those who are going through a tough time. And yes, Lord, I'm going through a tough time, but Lord, help me to help some other folks. And Father, it's amazing how in the midst of helping somebody else, someone else, how you'll help us too at the same time. So I just pray, God, that you help us to help the hurting. I pray, God, that somebody here tonight that's hurting, I pray, God, they come to you. I pray, God, there's someone that wants to be a helper to the hurting. I pray, God, they come talk to you. If there's somebody here that knows somebody that's hurting and they want to pray for that person, I pray, God, they bring their name before the throne of grace. And, Lord, watch you do the work that only you're able to do. But, Father, it's time. Stop playing games and to get sincere and to get real about helping hurting people. For it's your son's name we pray. Jesus, amen. Amen. Let's all stand.